chapter 15 and verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Last week we talked about the first sin and how it was the mercy of God that kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. It was literally his mercy that did that. And it was because of this sin, the sin of the garden, that death was introduced upon the earth. And it was because of this sin that Satan became the god of this world. And Satan actually, from this sin, now had power over death, hell, and the grave. It was through the sin of Adam. It was sin and the fact that there was no propitiation or payment for sin that actually gave this power away, okay? It was the fact that there was no payment that had been made. There was no way. While we see a promise that there's going to be something, there wasn't one. Now, I'm going to hope to prove this in a little bit. But even though Adam made a grave mistake, Adam was the model by which all mankind would follow. Okay, Adam became the model. He was the mold by which we were made. Okay, we were made after the similitude of Adam. And while Adam was created a perfect model, how many know that? Adam was created perfect. Okay, he sinned. So God made another, like as unto the first. But the second, which we call the second Adam, was able to do what the first Adam was not able. And thus allowing us to have power to do what before was impossible. So before the second Adam came, this power was not available to us. But after the second Adam, this power was made available. All right, so let's look at this. We're going to look at the first Adam first. We know from Luke that Adam was created. He was made to be something special. Okay, we first of all know from last week. How many remember last week? I have some here from last week. We know that Adam was given as a model of dominion. The Bible says that God gave him dominion over everything. He gave him dominion over the things of the earth. He was a model of dominion. Okay, now I'm not going to go into that, but this dominion that was made available, that was created or modeled in Adam, okay, was only earthly. Okay, the first Adam was made earthly. So he had dominion over the animals, over the plants, over all the earthly things. Okay, but it was an earthly dominion. Now, the second Adam gave us a different model. Okay, so let's look at this first Adam. We're going to walk through this. Luke chapter 3 and verse 38. It says, which was the son of Enos, the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So the first Adam was made a son of God. Okay, it was something special that was created. The second thing we know about Adam is that he was created the son of God. Okay, which was, hear me, this is very important because it's kind of where we're taking off. Okay, which was and still is God's desire for humanity. It is God's desire that you and I are sons and daughters of him. Okay? That's his desire. That was created from the very beginning. He was created a son of God because it was in the model or the plan of God that you and I would have the ability to be sons and daughters of God. What does it mean to be a son of God? Okay, that is kind of where we got to get into. The title Son of God means that there is a divine relationship. There is a special connection between God and us. If I am a son of God, then I have a divine connection with the Almighty God. I have the divine connection with the Creator who created me and made me and put in me what I am. Okay? There is also an eternal relationship that is given to us. So now, once I become a son of God, now I have the opportunity to have eternal life. Okay? An eternal relationship that does not stop or end at my death. Make sense? When I die on this earth, that's not the end. Why? Because I have been made a son of God. Now, I could get into this, and I may at the end on this son of God deal and how we are and become son of God. Now, I might as well jump here now. I'll just jump here right now. How do I become a son of God? I'll tell you how I become a son of God. I was born after the first Adam. I was made after the first Adam, which means I had power, dominion, earthly, okay? I had an earthly relationship, an earthly father, an earthly mother, okay? My existence was not eternal, it was temporary. But when I became a son of God, okay, it was changed, and now it's no longer temporary, okay? It's not just about earthly. Why? Because I have been, everyone knows this term, born again. Okay? I was born the first time unto earthly parents. They made me. They conceived me. Okay? And I get what I have from them. Okay? I carry their traits, right? I carry, you know, people tell me all the time, I look like my dad. I sound like my dad. Some people say I look like my mom. I think I look like my mom more than my dad, but that's my opinion. My mom's prettier. So I look like my mom. And she's thinner. And that way, unfortunately, I'm built like my dad. But I carry traits that was from them. Why? Because I carry their DNA. But when I'm born again of water and spirit, now I take on another set of DNA that transcends what my parents were. I now walk in a different walk. It's not like my parents walk, but my desire is I want to walk like he walks. I want my life to represent and model him. I want to be what he is. Why? Because I have a different DNA that was placed in me when I was born again, when I was washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, when his spirit filled me, I was born again of water and of spirit, and now I am a new creature. I'm a new creation. I've been made something new. So now watch. No longer is my life temporary, but now it's eternal. No longer is my life just earthly between me and my parents. It doesn't matter what my parents are right now, because I have a divine connection. I have a divine relationship. And now I am connected to something even greater. So that's what it means to be a son of God. This is what was created in the very beginning. To me, that is so powerful. God created Adam and put in him this model that you and I today would come in contact with. We were created after this model. Okay, there was a divine relationship and there was an eternal relationship that was created in the first Adam. Whew. Now, there was, I believe, something placed inside of every person that was placed there from the very beginning. Every one of us have something inside of us that desires to worship. we will worship something. Yeah, yeah. It was created or placed in us a desire to worship something. It was put there from the very beginning. There was a desire to seek a deeper relationship than what is found here on earth. That was created inside of us. The problem is people who don't know about it search for it in the wrong areas. They look through it through the perversions of life. They look through it through different addictions. They look through it through all sorts of vices, and they can't seem to find it because they don't realize that it was something that was created so every single one of us would be looking to our Creator. It was put there. That is why the Bible records in Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, but he didn't leave him there, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yes, we were formed from the dust of the ground, so we will return to the dust of the ground, and the earth is our source. But by God breathing the breath of life into Adam, he put in motion a second source in him, one that would transcend the earth, one that would transcend the earthly stuff, and now our source is from heaven. It's why Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, when he wrote this in Ecclesiastes 3:21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast which goeth downward? It's not talking about hell. It's not saying animals are going to hell. What it's saying is that you and I have been created because God put the breath. See, God didn't breathe the breath of life into an animal. He didn't do that. He breathed the breath of life into us. That's why we had power, dominion. That's why all that came to be. We got that because God breathed that into us. So when I return, my body returns to the ground because that was its source. But my spirit returns to the Creator which made me because that's its source. My spirit goes to God. Now, this was by design. God placed it in man at the very beginning, but that was broken by sin. Sin cut that off. Adam was more than just the model of a divine relationship, an eternal relationship. But I believe that he was a model of a relationship with God this way, not in those manners. It was a model by which you and I can follow. Because it was what God wanted his relationship, it was an example of what he wanted his relationship with us to look like. The only sad part about this is we only notice this model or see this example after the sin. Yeah, it's kind of sad. If you think about this, it's kind of sad that we don't get that. And that's probably why, because time didn't really get started. But look at this. In Genesis 3 and 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice that. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This was not a one-time deal. We don't know. Here they are. God says, I'm coming down. It's my time of the day. It's the time you and I have set together. It's the time that I come to be in relationship with you. I believe that God desires this from every single one of us. He desires to have that kind of a relationship with us, where he comes down and visits with us, where he comes down and has his presence with us. I believe that every time I go to my little chair in my room, Every time I go there, guess what? I kneel my head and I bow my knees and all that stuff and I begin to pray. Guess what? I'm walking with God in that day. God has shown up. He's coming to be with me. He's coming to hear my prayers. He's coming to talk with me. He's coming to speak with me. He's wanting to be in relationship with me. That's what was designed and placed in motion from the very beginning. That's what God desires in our relationship. He desires a relationship where he can come and he can talk with us, where he can help us, where he can be with us. But we also know what happened. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And God says, "Where art thou?" Now we know that God himself is all-knowing and all-seeing. He didn't ask this question because he really didn't know where they were. Tell me they were able to hide from God. The Bible lets us know that we can't hide from him. But yet he wanted them to answer him. Why? Because he was in a relationship with them. In other words, he's like, "What did you guys do? Why did you do this? You have broken or severed this divine connection that we have. You've severed our relationship." But I want you to notice through this, what the scriptures say that took place. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. We also see that God's concern, he was concerned where they were. He is concerned. I don't care anytime we've walked away from him, anytime we've disobeyed him and went away, and we may think nobody cares. I can tell you who cares. I can tell you God cares. He cares where they were. He cared where they were. He cared. Why? It was created as a model. It was there from the beginning of time. I want you to notice this through the scriptures. Result of sin. Here we go. Romans 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Because of sin, death reigned. Because of sin, death reigned. Reign. The Bible tells us, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even to those who didn't sin like Adam. Notice that. Not everybody sinned like Adam. But it says, even over them, you and I have to face the consequence of Adam's sin, whether or not we were born into sin, the Bible says, shapen in iniquity. Okay? But Adam was a figure of something to come. So watch. He says, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Notice the time frame by which is mentioned here. It's significance. The timing here is significance. The reason for this is that from Adam to Moses, there was no payment for sin. From Adam to Moses is called the time of conscience. Men lived as under their own conscience. But after Moses, God put in place a law. He met with Moses on Mount Sinai and he said, "Here's the way it's going to work. I am going to provide and I'm going to give you a way and I'm going to lay out a plan for payment of sin." The reason it's from Adam to Moses is because after Moses, God says, "I've laid out a plan, and this is now the payment of sin." What was the payment of sin? An animal had to be sacrificed. A spotless lamb had to be brought. There had to be a sacrifice for sin. And so from Adam to Moses, no payment was actually available. Okay? Correct. And we're going to get to that. But the method was put into place. The plan was there. And while sins were not forgiven, right, they were pushed back from year to year to year until the perfect payment could be offered. And so from Adam to Moses, death reigned. But all of these sins now, this to me just blows my mind. Somehow these sins were pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. But the moment that perfect payment was offered through Jesus Christ, the second Adam, all of a sudden, paid in full was stamped. And all of these sins which had been pushed across from years and years and years of sacrifice that never could find their forgiveness, were now, bam. That's why when Jesus stepped down, he walks into hell and he takes the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Why? Because now death no longer could reign. He snatched out the power of sin. It wasn't until the perfect payment could be offered, which is why the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. And then if you jump down to verse 9, it says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. When that payment came, boom, death no longer has power. Death no longer has victory. Death no longer reigns. And now you and I, through Jesus Christ, the second Adam, now have the ability to have the eternal relationship again. It wasn't possible, but now it's possible. It wasn't capable, but now it is. Now watch, we're going to go to Moses. I'm going to read some verses here, just so I know I've talked a lot. I want to read the passages so you can read it for yourselves. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. Who's the one? The first Adam, correct? Okay. So, for if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Watch. For if by one man's offense, the first Adam, death reigned by one, the first Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. He then gives us the power to reign in life. Adam brought about the reign of death. Jesus says, I'm bringing by the reign of life. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, the first Adam, many were made sinners. Sorry, we were born there because of that. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The reason I have the power to live right and overcome sin is because of the second Adam. He gave me that right. He gave me that power. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness, watch, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice this, the one is for the earthly, the one stops, but Jesus Christ, it keeps going, it's eternal. Watch how this goes to the eternal. Watch this, 1 Corinthians 15:19. I'm going to be wrapping up here real quick. I love this passage. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of men most miserable. If in this life only I have hope in Christ. In other words, if God only did good things for me while I was on this earth, I'm a man most miserable. Pitiful. If all I worry about in this life is this life, and you know, God does this for me or God doesn't do that for me, and God heals me and God delivers me and God helps me and God does these things for me. If all I have is what's in this life, then I'm a man most miserable. That's what the Bible says. It's a pity. I'm a pity. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Why do you think Jesus, why do you think God had to robe himself in flesh and become man? He did it because he had to reverse the curse of death that was brought by Adam. And so God says, I'm going to become man. I'm going to become like you so that I can be man and yet still be God. And so I can reverse the penalty or the curse of death. And so he was able to resurrect because he was God. For as in Adam all die, and watch, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because he lives, I live. Yeah, he's the source of it. And so here we go. Adam sinned. I have no hope. Because of death, I'm faced on this earth. But because of Christ, I now have life. And have it more abundantly. Now I have access to an abundant life, but not just on this earth. He says, wait a minute, I've got something even better. It goes beyond this life into eternal life. It goes beyond this. So one day you and I get to stand before the creator of the universe. And the greatest joy of my life will be to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That, to me, those would be the sweetest words I'll ever hear. I mean, I've had compliments from time to time. They won't even be in near comparison to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here we go. I'm closing. Last passage, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read a little bit here. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam, God breathed into him the breath of life. He became a living soul. But Jesus Christ became the quickening spirit. What is the quickening spirit? Let's read about it. Let's find it. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. In other words, everything we saw in Adam, Adam was natural. So God gave Adam dominion, right? But he gave it to him in the natural. God gives us dominion, but it's not in the natural. The dominion God gave us is a spiritual dominion. Okay? The relationship that Adam had was earthly. Our relationship is spiritual. Okay, everything we are. That's why when Jesus came, Jesus was not concerned with setting up a physical kingdom. He was not trying. That's why he didn't care that they took him and they crucified him. He wasn't trying. He didn't even try to defend himself. He said, look, I'm not of this world. I don't need to set up an earthly kingdom because my kingdom's not here. My kingdom's spiritual. And you and I have access through Jesus Christ to a spiritual kingdom. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You have a choice. We have a choice. I can either be earthly or I can be heavenly. I can either be, and the Bible talks about this, I can either be carnal minded, right? That's earthly. Or I can be spiritually minded, okay? The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God or an enemy of God, okay? The spiritual is a friend of God. And he says, I want you to have this. I don't want you to have this first man, which was earthly. I want you to have the second man, which is heavenly. Okay? And 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, right? We were all born in the earthly. Were you not? I don't see anyone here that's not of this earth. And I hope not anyway. I don't have any Martians in here, right? Sorry. I get carried away sometimes. But we've all were born earthly. It says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, watch, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I at one time bore the image of the first Adam. But when I was born again, I took on a new image. And that image was now the image of Jesus Christ. That's so good. To me, it's so cool. That now I bear a different image. It's a heavenly image. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. That's why Jesus was made a quickening spirit. That's why it is so important that you and I are born again of the Spirit. That's why we preach the new birth and say you have to be born again of the Spirit. Why? Because it's that Spirit that's going to be your ticket out of here. It's that Spirit that's going to quicken you one day. Watch what it says. These aren't my words. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What happens? That living soul all of a sudden gets quickened by the Spirit of the Almighty God, who says, no longer are you going to be living in a natural form. I'm going to change you in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. When it sounds, you're going to be gone. I believe it. There will be. There will be. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What took place with Jesus Christ on Calvary comes to its final fulfillment right here, when we are called, when we are changed, when the grave has to give up its dead. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through him that no longer does sin reign. Through him, I don't have to worry. The sting of death has a whole lot less sting when I know there's eternal life. When I know I've put on a new nature, I've put on something new in my life. I'm no longer the same man I used to be. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. How many understand the second Adam today? The second Adam basically tells us and gives us power over sin. I no longer have to be held bound captive to sin. I'm not saying you'll live a perfect life, but I'll tell you this, you're not going to be held captive to it. You're not going to be held bound to it. You don't have to be held to anything. I don't believe there's anything out there that has the power to hold us. When I take on the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus, when I'm born, there's nothing out there. There's nothing out there that has that power. And even death itself, as much as it would like to hold on to me, doesn't have a chance. Because there's a quickening spirit. It says, one day I'm going to call your name. One day I'm going to say, come on, it's time to go. And nothing can hold us. That is why scriptures, there's so many of them that go through my mind. But nothing shall separate us. Nothing is capable of it. Because you and I have a second Adam. The most important thing in our life is to know that the second Adam is real and alive in my life. The most important thing is to know I've been born again. I've been made a new creature. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you did for us at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for your willingness to die on my behalf and to pay my penalty for sin. Thank you, Jesus, that through you I've been made something new. And through you I have hope. God, through you, Lord, I have life and I have it more abundantly, and I thank you. God, I thank you, Lord, that death no longer has any power in my life, and one day, Lord, you will call me. One day, you will quicken me out of here, and Lord, I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, I pray that because of that, Lord, I would allow your spirit to rule and reign in my life. God, that I would allow your spirit to lead me and to guide me. God, that I would allow your spirit to have dominance and control in my life so that you, Lord, could overcome every obstacle, that you could overcome every sin that would try to come against me. God, I thank you. God, I ask for your help here tonight. Bless everyone. Touch them all, Lord. Allow your presence to be with them and lead them and guide them, God, into everything that you're wanting to lead us to. God, help us, Lord, to make sure, Lord, we are walking after your spirit and pursuing you as the most important thing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.